Today's shiur is Masechet Nazir, Daf Lamed Hei, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, on the first wide line on the Amud, Amamar. As we had discussed in the previous shiur, there is a machlokes between Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim, if alum and lulavim of a grape tree are also to a nazir. And the Gemara had explained that Rabbi Lezer's approach to explaining Pesukim the Torah is an approach that follows Ribu Yumiut, and that approach is a broader and includes more than if we follow the Pratu Klalu Prat approach. And therefore Rabbi Lezer, who had followed the Ribu Yumiut approach, held that Alam and Lulavim of a vine are also asa to a nazir. Whereas the Rabbanan, who follow the klalu pratu klal approach, say that alim and lulavim are not included. And the Gemara, in analyzing the approach of the Rabbanan, attempted to understand what is included with the klalu pratu klal in the Pesukim by Nazir, and what is not included. Omar, so the Brayset said, Ma Pri Mefurish, Pri Ma Prat Mefurish. The Prat, the Pasuk that mentions the details by Nazir, speaks about Pri, speaks about a fruit of the vine, Upsoilus Pri, and also the waste of such a fruit. Af kol pri upsoilus pri are included in what a nazir may not have from grape products. Says the Gemara, when the pasuk says pri, that a nazir may not have the fruit, what does that mean? Grapes. Psoilus pri, maihi. And when the pasuk says explicitly it may not have a waste byproduct of a wine tree, what does it mean? Chaimitz. If it means vinegar. Af kol pri, when the pasuk says to add additional products, when we're saying that the pasuk is coming to include other items that are not said explicitly, what are they coming to speak about? Gohurki, immature grapes. Af kol the psoilus pri maihi, when we say that not only is vinegar an example of psoilus pri that's osur, but there are other examples of psoilus pri that are osur, what would that include? Lesuya inve dichrin. It includes wormy grapes, that they too are considered grape products that a nazir may not have. Interesting to note that the sort of Sharm Tzion Balacha asks that if wormy grapes, how can we say that wormy grapes are included in the issa to a nazir? A nazir anyway is not allowed to eat wormy products, because we know that Allah is, no one is allowed to eat toloim. And he indeed says, because of this question, that the nazir who would eat these wormy grapes would indeed be over two isurim. One would be the isur of grape products, which we are discussing, and also it would include the isur of toloim, which we know we're not allowed to eat. The pasuk that we discussed and will continue discussing regarding what b'chatzanim v'adzag, that the Torah says that a nazir may not eat the pits and skin of a grape. So the Gemara is focusing now on the word ad. Why, when describing this iser, asked the Gemara, does the pasuk have to use the adzag? Amar Ravina, what do we learn from the ad? Lesuyi de bene benayim. To add, to teach us that the pulp of the grape is also usur to a nazir. Benayim means the product which is between the seeds and the skin, which refers to the pulp. There are other rishonim that don't agree with that pshat. This is Tosfos's first pshat in explaining benayim. Other Rishonim don't agree with that pshat, for they say it's obvious that a nazir may not eat the pulp of a grape, and they therefore explain Bein Benayim means that sometimes there are small grapes that grow in between the large grapes, and since they're covered by the large grapes, they will never get ripened, and therefore they will never really mature into grapes. And that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, is also asa to another. Ramesh in the Tshuva uses this Gemara to teach us a very interesting halacha in Hilchis Brachis. Ramesh says that we know the halacha is, on a fruit we make a bari pri eitz. On a vegetable we make a bari pri adama. However, the Shulchan Aruch says, if one made a bari pri ha'adama on a fruit, since trees emanate from the ground, he will have been, he's mekayim the bracha, he doesn't make another bracha. However, there is an interesting machlokes ha'poskim. Certainly, if one had a fruit, only a fruit in front of him, he had an apple in front of him, and instead of making the bari pri eitz, he made the bari pri ha'adama, certainly, that is considered that he made a bracha, a proper bracha. However, what will be the halacha if a person has in front of him a platter that includes in it, on it, fruits and vegetables? He mistakenly made a bari pri hadoma with the intention of eating a fruit. Will the Shulchan Aruch then still apply or not? From the Shulchan Aruch, it seems that even under those circumstances, he made a bari pri adama, but the evid, a bari pri adama, is acceptable for a fruit, and he doesn't make a different bracha. However, there are paiskim, the Shagis Aryeh, and other paiskim who disagree. And they say under such circumstances, since he has here fruits and vegetables, he should eat a vegetable, and later on, make another bari pri or eitz on a fruit. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says, since we have here a machlokes apaiskim, the Shulchan Aruch holding that another bracha ought not to be made, Shagis Aryeh, another paiskim quoted by the Shaarei Tshuva saying that another bracha should be made. So says the Mishnah Berurah, what the person should do is eat a vegetable, have in mind that he doesn't want to eat any fruits, and then only later decide to eat a fruit and make a bari pri or eitz on that fruit. However, says Rav Moshe, since in our Gemara we're learning that grape products and are considered also wine, therefore, even though the halach is that on wine we make a bari pri agofen and on grapes we make a bari pri or eitz, if somebody has in front of him grapes and wine, and he intended to make a bari pri agofen, even though the right thing is he should make a bari pri eitz on the wine, a bari pri eitz on the grape, and a bari pri agofen on the wine, since our Gemara showed us how very connected grapes and wine are, here even the Shagis Aryeh would agree that with the bari pri agofen that he made, he was mekayim the bracha certainly on the wine and even on the grapes. That's a chiddush Rav Moshe says. Although Rav Moshe says certainly it's always proper to make the proper bracha, and in this case also perhaps the right thing to do is just drink the wine, be mesiach das from the grapes, and then decide to eat the grapes later and make a bari pri or eitz. But here he says if one did not do that, certainly the bari pri agofen that one made on the wine will also be acceptable for the grapes. Our Gemara has also taught us how far the Torah goes in telling us that a nazir who's not allowed to eat grape products, not allowed to drink wine, should avoid all grape products, to the degree, as we're seeing in our Gemara, that pits and skin and all different grape byproducts are also to the nazir, because we know a nazir is not allowed to drink wine. And in fact, the Medrash says that this is the source that one's supposed to make a siyog. One is supposed to go extra and above what the Torah says in order to make sure that he fulfilled the basic requirement. And in fact, the Mefarshim explain, this could be seen in the wording of the pasuk regarding what a nazir may not drink and eat. Because the pasuk says, Miyayin v'sheicha yazir, chaymetz yayin v'chaymetz sheicha la yishte. We see that the Torah is differentiating between the actual wine and the wine vinegar. By the wine, the Torah uses the word yazir. By the chaymetz, the Torah uses the words la yishte. Why? Because the Torah is telling us, wine, yayin v'sheicha, is yazir. That's what naziris is all about. Yes, the Torah is saying, because naziris is about not drinking wine, therefore yayin, chaymetz yayin v'chaymetz sheicher, lo yishta, don't drink them, that you should be able to protect the naziris, which is about yayin v'sheicher. So ask the Mefarshim, if so, we're all familiar in our Parshas Bereishis, when Adam HaRishon told Chava not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, not only did he not tell her to eat, he also told her not to touch that tree. And the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Kol HaMosef Gareya, because Adam told Chava more than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had only told him not to eat, and he told her even not to touch, and then when she did touch it and nothing happened, she became lax and being concerned about it. So we see that one should not be meisif, one should not add past what the mitzvah is. Yet here we're seeing that the Torah itself follows such a pattern. Say to Mefarshim that the pasuk we just quoted answers the question. Of course there is an inyan, of course there is an issue to add siyogim and gedarim to the mitzvahs of the Torah, but it's always important to remember what is the principle, what is the principle then, and what is the siyogin together. And actually the pasuk we quoted shows us that principle, because the pasuk says miyayin v'sheicha yazir, that the wine is the main din, and the chaymetz yayin v'chaymetz sheicha are only there to protect the main din. Adam's mistake was that he didn't differentiate between what was the din and what was the siyog. And that's why the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Kol HaMosef Gareya. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa that we just learned. Amar, as we learned in the previous year, Ma Prat Meforesh Pri Gomer. Just like the Prat, the Pasuk in the Torah speaks about a finished fruit that a nazir may not participate from, afko pregomer. I would say that the nazir is only prohibited from having a full fruit. Amrit, imke ma'aniach ha'kosev b'mashmo shloi amru. If that's all the Torah is coming to teach us, we already know all of it. Because anavim lachim v'yeshim, fresh and dried grapes, haksivi, are mentioned explicitly in the Torah that a nazir may not have. Yayin v'chaymetz, wine and vinegar, also hoksivi are mentioned. Ha'ein l'chaladon b'loshen achran b'loshen rishon. Therefore, we can't say that the prat, that the pasuk that mentioned the specifics by nazir, is only coming to add pregomer. El, we have to say that it's referring k'loshen rishon, which speaks about more, a broader application of the prat. Ma'acha shesafeinu l'rabbis kol dover. If we're going to include all grape products that a nazir may not participate from them, mat hamaloymer mechatzan v'adzag. What does the Torah add afterwards? The word mechatzan v'adzag. And as we quoted Tosfos yesterday, certainly the Torah has to write the words mechatzan v'adzag to teach us that even though pits are normally a food that's not eaten, still, the nazir may not eat pits. But as Taishta said, the Gemara's question is, why did the Torah have to specifically write this pasuk in the prat, klal, uprat fashion? Why couldn't the Torah have put all of the pratim, all of the specifications first, and then mention the klal? Loi malach to teach us, kamakam shata maitse prat uklal. Wherever we find a prat followed by a klal, We don't follow the prat. We don't say that the prat is what defines the halacha. El nasa klal moisif al prat. We say that the klal that follows the prat. In other words, the way the Rishonim explain, we could have a situation of a prat u klal, or we could have a situation of a klal u prat. And the Rishonim say whichever is the second pasuk mentioned is the pasuk that really defines the scope of the din. So if we'll have a situation of a klal u prat, we say that the prat defines the din, and only masha befrat, what is included in that pasuk, is included in the din, nothing else. On the other hand, if we have a situation of a prat u klal, we say that the klal is what defines the scope of the halacha being discussed, and therefore the klal will broaden to everything. Therefore, we have to have a situation of a prat or klal or prat. When the Torah had three psukim, first a prat, then a klal, and then a prat, to teach us, since we end with a prat, so we have a prat or klal or prat, and the prat comes to limit the scope of the iser. Ask the Gemara. According to Elazar ben Azariah, who he explained in the previous year, the Kamaikum Leila Mechatzan of Adzag, who says that the Pasuk of Mechatzan of Adzag is coming to teach us, Loimer Sheinoi Chayiv, Achyoch Lebeis Chatzan of Azag, unless he eats two pits and a skin, Prata Monale, where will he know this Prat? How will he be able to use this Pasuk to teach us a prat uklal uprat, if he needs this pasuk to teach us the halacha that you have to have two pits and one skin? Answers the Gemara. Savala Kabbalazar. Rabbalazar ben Azariah will indeed not hold like the Rabbanan, but rather he'll hold like Rabbalazar ben Azariah, the Darish Miyut V'Riba, that he explains these psukim in a Miyut V'Ribui fashion, and therefore indeed, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, lulavim v'gefanim will be usher to a nazir, as Rabbi Elazar holds. Ask the Briskerov, if Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if we're saying now that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds like Rabbi Elazar, and not only are all of the grape products usur, but even the lulavim, the gefanim are usur, so why does he need a special pasuk to teach us the chatzanim, the zag are usur? Why don't we say that it's obvious the chatzanim, the zag are usur, just like lulavim, the gefanim are usur? So the Brisker Rav says two terutzim. One terutz he says is, you can't learn chatzanim v'zag, he says, from lulavim v'gefanim. He said, because lulavim v'gefanim are somewhat edible. Chatzanim are totally inedible. And that's why Rabbi Elazar needs a separate pasuk for chatzanim v'zag. Another teretz that the Brisker Rav gives, it goes back to something that we discussed in the previous year. We explained that, said the Brisker Rav, that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there's a chiddush that if you eat two pits and a skin from one grape, even though it doesn't equal a kezayis, the halacha will be that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah will hold that yechayiv. Says the Brisker Rav, what will be if you eat chatzanim v'zag not from one grape, but they accumulate to kezayis? How will I know that you're chayiv? That I'm going to know from the pasuk that teaches us love megafanim mikol ayoytz megefen ayayin. So in other words, we have two types of situation, says the Brisker Rav, by chatzanim v'zag. Sometimes if they come from one grape, we don't need to have a kezayis. That's what we need the pasuk for chatzanim v'zag. If we have a kezayis, indeed we don't need a special pasuk. We can learn it from the same pasuk that we learn lulavim v'gefanim. V'bayisema. And really, you could say that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agree who were the Rabbonim. That the pasuk of Mechatzan v'Adzag is used to be the second prat, or the prat uklal prat dinim regarding a nazar. These alkedatech that Rabbi Lozer hold, that Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah holds like the Rabbonim. These alkedatech could Amar Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah, if the pasuk were just coming to teach us the halacha that you need to have two pits and a skin. Why is the pasuk mentioned after the klal? As we said before, it could have been mentioned together with the other pratim. Why did the Torah write this pasuk specifically after the Torah included the klal? To teach us that this should be taught as a prat uklal prat situation. Ask the Gemara, v'emekula l'hachidu asa. So if so, let's say that that's the entire purpose of these psukim, to teach us a prat uklal prat and nothing more. Answers the Gemara, im kain, if that's all that the Torah is teaching us, this limud of a prat uklal prat, lichtoiv oy shnei chatzanim oy shnei zagim, then Torah could have written shnei chatzanim shnei zagim or chatzan v'zag. Why did the Torah write it in this very interesting way? One word in the plural form, one word in the singular form. So we learn from this that we can learn two concepts. One is the Lamidrash Beklal Prat, that this should be taught, that the Pasuk is teaching us a Prat of Klal Prat situation. Vikanami, it's also teaching us Lamidrash Bey Ad Sheyoichel Shnei Chatzan V'Zag, that you have to eat two Chatzan V'Zag in order to be Chayiv for eating pits and skin. Ask the Gemara, V'Rivelozah the Dorish Meat V'Ribuy. V'Rivelozah that learned the Pesukim in the Meat V'Ribuy form. Ask the Gemara Prat Uklal Prat Menolei, where will we see that he accepts this limit or Prat Uklal Prat? And there are a number of explanations in the Rishonim and how to understand this Gemara. The Rosh says that the Gemara is probing. The Gemara is probing and asking, is Pshat that Rabbi Lozer never subscribes to the limit of Prat Uklal Prat? Or is Pshat that in this specific situation, Rabbi Lozer doesn't subscribe to it? But he can, as a general limud, certainly agree that there is a limud or prat to klal or prat. That's one way of learning the Gemara. Taisvis has two other pshatim. One pshat, Taisvis says, is that since we see in many places in Shas, the Gemara explains psukim with the prat to klal or prat form, and we don't find Rabbi Lozer arguing in any of those Gemaras, obviously he subscribes to this form of limud, for otherwise he would disagree in all those other places in Shas. So the Gemara wants to find what is the source that Rabbi Lozer learns a prat or klal or prat. But then Taisus says another pshat. Taisus explains as follows. We're learning in our Gemara that there's a fundamental machloike between the Chacham and Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer is learning this psukim in the miut v'ribui form, and the Rabbanan are learning the psukim in prat uklal prat form. But as we learned in the shir just a moment ago, we had to say that why was Rabbi Lozer able to learn this as a miut v'ribui? Because he explained that the posik of v'chatsan v'azag is not here to teach us a prat, but rather is here to teach us the din that Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah taught us, that you're only chayiv for two chatzanim and one zag. Why did Rabbi Lozer have to go out of the way? Why did the Gemara in explaining Rabbi Lozer have to go out of the way to say that's pshat in the psukim? Because what the Gemara meant to do, says Tosfos, is Rabbi Lozer was facing a dilemma. If we won't have a limud from the pasuk of Mechatzan and Vadzag, we're going to have a situation of a prat uklal uprat that Rabbi Lozer will not be able to avoid. But Rabbi Lozer wants to learn these psukim in the Miyat V'Ribui form. So that's why Rav Elazar had to find something to do with the Pasuk, and he did, by explaining that the Pasuk is to be used for Rav Elazar, but Azariah says the Pasuk is to be used to teach us the din of Tuchat San V'Zag. But if Rav Elazar doesn't subscribe to the concept of Miyat V'Ribui V'Ribui, a prat, a klal, a prat, so what's the problem? What are we worried about? It must be, says Taisvis, that Rabbi Lazar does subscribe to prat, a klal, a prat. Here, he wants to create a situation where it's not a prat, a klal, a prat, where it's only a miyat v'ribui, and he's successful in doing that by explaining that the pasuk of Mechatzana v'Azag comes to teach us the halacha of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. So obviously, he does subscribe to Prat HaKlal HaPrat if he's working on avoiding a Prat HaKlal HaPrat situation. So where do we see, ask the Gemara, that he subscribes to this concept? Says the Gemara, we find it by the Pasuk of Shomrim. The Pasuk says, Om Rav Avua, Nafka Lemahai Kro. The Pasuk says, regarding somebody giving a shomer to watch something, v'chiyiten ish al re'eyu chamar ashar aseh. Somebody gives a friend to watch his donkey, his ox, his sheep, which is a prat. Speaks about specifics. Then the pasuk says, kol behema klal lishmar. Then the Torah again uses the word lishmar. Comes to, it's considered a prat, because it's speaking about only such items which can be guarded, which would exclude wild bears and lions, say the Rishonim. So we have a situation of prat or klal a prat. The aloch is e'atadon elik en a prat. And from here the Gemara says in Masechta B'Metzia that the common denominator for what is considered in the parasha of Shomrim are items that are movables and have intrinsic worth, which wouldn't exclude land since it's not movable, and it would exclude shtaris, loan documents, since they have no intrinsic worth. And slaves are also excluded because the Torah compares slaves to land. That's why this, says the Gemara, is a place where we see an example of prat or klal a prat that even Rabbi Lazar would subscribe to. Rav Amar nafka lemahai kro. Rav says we learn it from this pasuk, and as the Rishonim point out, the reason Rav wasn't satisfied, there are some Rishonim that say the Rav really isn't arguing with Rabbi Avua, he's just giving another example. However, there are Rishonim that say the reason Rav wasn't satisfied with the example Rav Avua gave, because the Gemara in Masechta B'Metzia, says the Tosfos Rid, says that the Chachamim don't explain this pasuk to be a prat uklal uprat, rather they explain this pasuk to be a klal uprat uklal, and they say the pasuk is to be understood ki yitein as a klal ish al re'eyu chamar ashar aser is then a prat, and then lish v'chol behema is a klal. And since we're looking for a situation of a prat to klal a prat, not for klal a prat to klal, that's why Rava gives a different suggestion. Rava amar nafka lemahai kro. This pasuk is referring to the din of what animals can be used as a carbon. And there are two pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand this pasuk: the pshat of the Rosh and the pshat of Tosfos. Vim min prat. The Torah says from, so that's a specification, not all. Hatsoin, the Torah used the word soin, is a klal. Kvasim v'izim is a chazer or prat. Prat or klal or prat. Yatadon al kaina prat, and it, therefore it has to be similar to the specification. So as the Rosh explains, this comes to restrict that only animals that were not used for an aveira may be brought as a carbon, but animals that were used to do an aveira may not be used for carbon. But what is the pasuk saying? Says the Rosh, there are two types of aveiras that could have been done with an animal. One is an aveira that could have been done with the animal itself. If somebody, Rachman Tzlan, performed bestiality with the animal. Another form of aveira is where the animal was part of an aveira, but nothing was done to the animal itself. For example, where one used the animal to plow a field, two different types of animals plowed a field together, which is Issa Kloyim. The Rosh is saying that the Gemara is teaching us that an aveira, that an animal that was used for an aveira, not all animals may be used. Animals that were used for an aveira cannot be brought as a carbon, but the pasuk is limiting it only to animals. That's what the Prat of Klal Prat is teaching us, that the animal itself was used for an aveira, such as bestiality, not as kloyim. That's how the Rosh explains the Gemara. Tosfos explains the Gemara differently. He says that the pasuk first teaches us that the animal, since the pasuk uses mim min hatzayim, only an animal that's less than a year old, an animal that is not a bal mum, could be used. Then the pasuk says hatzayim, which comes to teach us even if the animal is over a year old, and even if the animal is a bal mum. Then the pasuk says kvasim v'isim. Again, the pasuk seems to be speaking of kevis as an animal that's less than a year old, to teach us that animal has to be whole, and therefore we learn that an animal must be tamim, but it may not, but it doesn't have to be used as a carbon, but it doesn't have to be a year old. Even if it's older than a year old, it can be used as a carbon. Amalei Rav Yehuda Medistakta L'Rava. So Yehuda Medistakta asked Rava, V'leilf min ha'dein kra, why don't we use the following pasuk? Also a pasuk that speaks about kabonis as an example, as a model for Rebbe Lazar to use for prat uklal uprat. The pasuk says min ha'beheima. The pasuk says adam kikur mekhem kabon Hashem min ha'beheima min ha'bakim min ha'tzoyim takrivas b'archem. Min is a prat, ha'beheima is a klal, bak of ha'tzoyim is a chazar prat. So we'll have a situation of prat uklal uprat. Iatadon alkeina prat. The min speaks about only some animals, which would only include domestic species. Animals include all types of animals, not only domestic animals, even chayas. And then we have again the Torah saying tzoyim. Then the Torah again saying bok of tzoyim, which would teach us to domestic species. We would say that the pasuk is teaching us anything similar to the specification, which would include a wild axe, which is a domestic species that lives in the wild, but it would exclude chayos, like a deer. Amalei min ha'ilek l'mishmanei. Says Rav Yehuda, this pasuk cannot serve as a model for prat uklal uprat. If we were going to use this pasuk, havamina, I could say that the pasuk, when it says a behema, chay b'chlal behema, a chay is always included in a behema. So when the Torah says, it's as if the Torah is specific, expressly saying that even chayas can be used. Amalei, so he said to him, says Rav Yehuda, chay b'chlal behema, how could you suggest that the Torah is certainly including chayas? Haksev bok v'tzoyim. The second prat, the last prat, the Torah had two pratim. First, the Torah used the word min ha'behema, and then the Torah used tzoyim bok v'tzoyim. Now, bok v'tzoyim certainly don't include chayas. If bok v'tzoyim don't include chayas, it's obvious that the min ha'behema also doesn't include chayas. Haksib Bakvat Soin. Vavalay Prat and Klal. So we have here a situation of Prat to Klal. We have to Don Alkaina Prat. And we go back to what we said before, that it's coming to include Shor Habor, the wild axe, exclude all Chayis. And indeed, this could be a source to teach us Prat to Klal or Prat. Ask the Gemara, Umanolan the Hochihu. From where do we know that Prat to Klal or Prat is a legitimate Derech Halimut? In other words, some Rishonim explain, Taisus explains, that as we've been learning from the previous year already, the Torah is teaching us that we follow, that according to Rabbanan, the way to understand Psukim is to follow the Prat to Klal or Prat model. The question is, from where do we learn that? The Reign of Peretz says that from here, the Gemara's question here is not how do we know that Prat or Klal or Prat is legitimate Derech Halimut. All of us who say the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel every morning know that this is one of the Yud Gimel Midas Shadar in the Dresh Span. What the Gemara's question here is, says the Reign of Peretz, is that with saying that Prat or Klal or Prat, Yata Don Elkein Prat. Klal or Prat or Klal, we learn like the Prat. The question is, how do we define, which is going to be the Sugya we're going to learn for the rest of the Shia today, how do we define the scope of what is included and what is not included? Says the Gemara, the Tanya. The Pasuk says regarding Maaseh Sheni, then we know that the Aloch is that one of the Maestros that had to be separated in the first and second and the fourth and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle is Maaseh Sheni, which does produce should be taken to Yerushalayim and eaten Yerushalayim. However, the Aloch is, if one doesn't want to carry all of those produce to Yerushalayim, he can redeem it for money to be spent in Yerushalayim. And the Pasuk says, you could spend the money for anything that you want, klal. Then the Pasuk says, Bebok betsoin, or beyayin, or besheicher, is a prat. And then the Torah says, Bechol ashetacholcha nafshecha, chaz of a klal. So we have a situation of klal or prat of klal. Iat the don elokein a prat. The Torah with Aloch is that we have a prat to klal, klal a prat to klal, only something similar to the prat. Only something similar to the specification is included. To teach us ma prat mefurish, pri mepri, all of the items that were listed are items that grow one from another and grow off the ground. And therefore the Rishonim, it comes to include birds. The birds grow off the ground. They nourish from the ground and they are born to a mother. Teaches us Afkal Prim and Privagdule Karka are the only items that can be used to buy with the Maaseh Sheni money, which would exclude fish, because fish don't nourish from the ground, they nourish in the water, and it also excludes water and salt. So now the Gemara, since comes to sort of summarize what we've been learning. We've been learning various different limudim. We've been learning Miyat V'Ribui. We've been learning Klal U'Prat to Klal. Prat U'Klal U'Prat. And the Gemara is coming to focus on every type of limud. How do we understand it? Michti, asked the Gemara. Klal U'Prat U'Klal. We've just learned when we have a situation of Klal U'Prat to Klal, Iyat Don Elkein U'Prat. Came Prat to Daninan. We say that only what is similar to the specification is included in the din. But that is the same if we have a klal or prat. So what klal or basra mayahani? What does the second klal include? What does it come to? What purpose does it serve that we couldn't have learned with klal or prat alone? Answers the Gemara. Also the sufi called the domile. It comes to include everything that's similar. And as the Rishonim explain, two explanations given the Rishonim. One explanation given to Rishonim is, since we have two klolim, it has more of, we are broader in our application. Or another explanation given by the Rishonim is, since this sequence is ended with a klal, it shows that the klal is the main point of limud, and therefore gives us a broader explanation than versus just having a prat or klal or prat, where we have two pratim, or we end off with a prat. Ask the Gemara, su, prat or klal or prat, came prataninen. We say the prat or klal or prat, we follow the prat. Prat or basra mayahani, answers the Gemara, ila prat or basra, if we wouldn't have the final prat, have a mina nasa klal, Moisvel prat, we'll have a prat to klal, and as we said at the beginning of this year, when we have a prat to klal, the klal defines the halacha, and we give it a very, very broad explanation. Therefore, we need the final klal, the final prat, to limit the application. Ask the Gemara, if so, michti, train klal or prata, if we have a klal or prat or klal, or train prati or klal, or we have a prat or klal or prat. In both cases, came prat or daninen. We followed our halacha that it's considered kena prat. So what's the difference, asked the Gemara, ma'ika beni beni? What's the difference between a klal or prat or klal and a prat or klal or prat? Answers the Gemara, ika. There is a difference. Dila tatin klal or prat, if we have a klal or prat or klal, ika prat or the domile, I feel b'chatzad, even if something is only similar in one way, marbinon, it will be included. But if, in a case of trei prati klali, a prat uklalu prat, iyik a prat de domi mishneit study, marbinon, only if it has two similarities, isn't included, it resembles the prat in two ways, isn't included. But if it's bechatzad, if it only resembles the prat in one way, loim rabbinin. So ask the Rishonim immediately, we need to understand. The pasuk that we used by Maaser Sheni was a situation of a klal uprat uklal. Now we're explaining that whenever we have a klal uprat uklal, as long as it's similar to the prat in one way, we're marba, we include it. What did we say is excluded from that klal or prat or klal? We said fish are excluded. Because although fish grow one from another, they don't nourish from the ground. But now we're saying, asked the Rishonim, that anything that's similar, even in one way, if it's a klal or prat or klal, we include. So fish is similar in one way, that it grows from a mother. It's pre-me-pre. Why should it not be included? So one teretz that the Rishonim give is that fish don't even grow from a mother. Since they don't get born in the normal way, it's not even considered pre-me-pre, which is a difficult pshat, because animals, chicken, also don't get born. They're hatched. They're not born like everything else. Therefore, I saw another pshat. Tosfos says another pshat. Of course, our Gemara is saying the nafkamina between a klal or prat or klal and a prat or klal or prat, is that when we have a klal or prat or klal, even if it's similar in just one way, it's enough to be included. But sometimes we learn characteristics. We learn two characteristics. Going back to that pasuk, the pasuk of Abaka B'tzoyin B'yayin B'sheicher, which we said that common characteristic, the common denominator characteristics of all those things were pre-mipri, and Gedulei Menakarka. One characteristic is not more powerful than the other characteristic. When do we say that one characteristic is sufficient to be compared? Is if there's one characteristic which is the obvious characteristic. Then we say that that's what we do. We follow that characteristic to be considered similar. But when there's two characteristics and we can't pinpoint that one characteristic is any more than the other characteristic, there we say that we have to follow have both characteristics, even in a klal or prat or klal situation. Ask the Gemara, michti, prat or klal, we've said that when we have a situation of prat or klal, nasa klal moisav al prat, visrabi kol mili, it includes everything. Similarly, we said when we have a situation of a miyit v'ribui, nami, ribu akol, visrabi kol mili, everything is included. So ask the Gemara, my ikab and miyit v'ribui, l'prat or klal. We said in the previous year that learning the Torah in a prat-to-klal form or learning the Torah in a miyit v'ribui form have very fundamental differences in approach how to understand psukim. But the way we're explaining now, that when we have a prat-to-klal, the klal broadens. When we have a miyit v'ribui, the ribui broadens. So what is the practical nafkamina? Answers the Gemara, ikka there is. Dila prat-to-klal, marbinan afilo alam v'lulovim. If we'll follow the prat-to-klal form, even alam lulavim will be usa to another. If we follow the miyit v'ribui form, lulavim in, lulavim will be usa, but alam will not be usa. Ask all the Rishonim that in the beginning of this sugya, on the Aflamadal Ramah Beis, we said just the opposite. That Rabbi Lazar, who learns the miyit v'ribui, has the broader application. And he was saying that he doesn't have the broad application, because if we follow the miyit v'ribui, Alan was saying are not included. So there are two turots in my saw. Tysus answers that there are two types of Alan. There are Alan that are soft, that are somewhat edible, and there are Alan which are totally inedible. When Rabbi Lazar at the beginning of the sugya says that by following the meat v'ribui form, when marba Alan, he meant the edible, the somewhat edible Alan. If it would have been a prat klal, says our Gemara, we would have not just been marba, the edible alan, but even the inedible alan. Other Rishonim say, the way to understand it is, that indeed, the only thing we learn from the miyit v'ribui is lulavim. But he says that the pasuk, on mikol ashiyas megefa and hayayin, Rabbi Lezer comes to say, that it should teach us something more than just the miyit v'ribui, and that's how, even though if we were just to follow the miyit v'ribui form, we would just learn lulavim and not alan, but by including and following the wording of the pasuk mikol ya ashiyas migefen ayayin, even alan are included. So to summarize, there are many different limudim that we've been discussing, and we're going to speak about what the halacha is, or how to learn each situation. If we have a case of a klal or prat, we follow the prat. We say that the prat defines the klal. If we have a situation of prat or klal, we follow the klal. Again, because we say the klal defines the prat. Klal or prat or klal, then we follow the prat. But even if something is only similar to the prat in one way, it will be included. Prat uklal prat. Again, we follow the prat. But since it's a prat uklal prat, it has to be similar to the prat in two ways to be included. Miut v'ribui, we're marba everything except what the Torah specifically excludes. Ribui miut, we follow the miut, because we said that the miut is defining the ribui. Ribui miut v'ribui has the same halacha as a miut v'ribui, and we include everything besides what was specifically excluded. And a miut ribui a miut doesn't exist in the Torah if it's always considered a prat uklal uprat.